Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Don't get me wrong, I love being married. Been there 4 times. Problem is, I love being single, too. Hard to do them both at the same time.
Nobody's perfect.
Only successful marriage I had was me and my work. Started making money when I was 16. That was that. Never stopped.
I'm Jim Burns. When we were kids, we used to get a do-over if a game wasn't going that well. I played a little golf, and that's what I called a mulligan. I would take a do-over. During halftime at a sporting event, the coaches for both teams will meet with their players. They'll talk about the adjustments they'll need to make to ensure success during the second half of the game. Well, there are times in life when we all need to make an adjustment or two, but perhaps there is no more important adjustment time than when a man or a woman reaches what is commonly referred to as midlife. Now, the term itself is a bit peculiar because it implies we somehow know exactly how long we're going to live, which we don't, but it is generally accepted that sometime during our 40s, each of us will hit the halftime of our lifetime. And as a result, we are wise to do an assessment of where we are, where we've been, and where our lives are going. Well, during the next half hour, I'm going to continue my conversation with my very good friend, Steve Arterburn, about finding significance in the second half of life. So if you or someone you know is in this season right now, stay with us.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am so excited today that we have Steve Arterburn with us. It's a continuing conversation. We're talking about finding significance in the second half of life. You can hear him daily on the national radio broadcast New Life Live. I love that program. Founder and chairman of New Life Ministries, Steve is the author of more than 50 books, and most of them, interestingly enough, are best-selling books, and that includes the multi-million best-selling series called Every Man's Battle. Married to his beautiful wife, Misty, and they live in Laguna Beach. They also live near Indianapolis, Indiana. So that's a story in itself. He co-wrote a great book with John Shore called Midlife Manual for Men, Finding Significance in the Second Half of Life. For many guys, midlife is ranked somewhere on the scale from a cakewalk to a trip to hell and back. Steve, in your case, you've kind of experienced both in midlife.
I have.
The trip to hell and yet a cakewalk as well.
Yes, and it is wonderful to come out on the other side of that and to be able to be living the best days of your life. But I got to tell you, I went through a divorce several years ago, and when it all happened, here I was, radio boy who wrote about relationships and talked about them, and then I had to go through this divorce. It was humiliating. But fortunately, I had people that could help me get through it, and that tragedy led to really some good days in my life. Now, I want to say this, though. If you go through a divorce and you really experience it, you're probably the most anti-divorce person ever, like I am, and also my wife is. If we could have made it work with the other spouse, we would have. We still think that would have been a better thing, but now we're doing the best we can with what we have. But divorce is, there's no wonder that God hates it so very much because of what it does to you and your kids. And I just can't encourage people enough to take a second look if you're moving toward divorce. In fact, we do these intensives at New Life on the weekend, where Friday through Sunday, and we do everything we can to get people that are about to divorce to turn it around and go the other direction. And we've been very, very successful in working with people like that because it is hell. But anyway, back to this. It is wonderful to come out of midlife, be in the second two-thirds of your life, and to have some good days rather than kind of this horrible, dark, black place, vacuous place where there's more emptiness than anyone could describe.
Now, there's a lot of people who are entering into midlife or they're in midlife that really don't think they're in trouble until they hit some big-time crisis like you were talking about.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've... Have you ever seen this show, What Not to Wear? Well, obviously you haven't, but the this show, What Not to Wear, is it's a helpful show. They help you dress appropriately. They help men.
It's fashion police.
Well, it is kind of that. But, you know, they have practical things. Like, they tell men, always take your socks off before you take your pants off. Because no woman has ever seen a man standing there in these little black socks and these spindly white legs and goes, wow, I want that. Anyway, so I'm watching it. We're doing the marathon because my wife forces me to watch it. About the 14th show, there was this lady that just didn't want to change. And, you know, they bring you in this room. You walk in this room, and here's your family, and here are your friends, and they're showing videos of how horribly dressed you are. It was kind of embarrassing.
Boy, do not let my wife see that,
because
you're right.
Well, it was kind of embarrassing. This one guy walks in, here's all his family and friends sitting around, and he's going, I am not going to rehab. I'm not going to rehab. But anyway, national TV is kind of a bummer. But this lady, you know, she was very resistant, and then finally, she gives in. And Clinton, you know, a lot of people on your program quote scripture. I quote Clinton from What Not to Wear. He says this. He says, you know, sometimes you don't know you need help until you get help. I thought, boy, now that will preach, yeah. Clinton. And I don't think he's a preacher by any means. But it is true. We can go through life thinking or convincing ourselves that everything is okay. And if we never open up to allow somebody to say what might be the truth in our lives, hey, you need to work on this over here, then we may end up in crisis because we didn't know we were headed toward.
Well, you know, it's a great conversation because I think a lot of people, by the time they get to midlife, they just sort of get stagnant.
Yeah.
They're not willing to grow. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to make some decisions or even understand their roles. In your book, Midlife Manual for Men, you and John talk about four roles men play and how they kind of relate to middle age, son, husband, provider, father. I want to talk about the son aspect of it. There's a phrase in your book that just I underlined and really had to think about. Every life lesson is learned as boys. What did you mean by that?
Well, we learn so much as boys, and what we learn, we take in to our adult life. Most boys learn to play. A lot of boys don't. And if you don't, you take that depravity into your adult life, you do one of two things with it. You either overcompensate and you never grow up because you're trying to make up for your childhood, or you never learn the upside of life and the freedom and the spontaneity that comes when you are kind of repeating that lesson as a boy. But, you know, one of the things that every son learns is you really learn to be open-hearted. If you're not open-hearted with your parents, if you don't have this openness and willingness to hear and to receive, then that's going to destroy your life for the rest of your life.
Now, what do you say to, I want to give you an illustration.
All right.
I was speaking at Promise Keepers a number of years ago, and I realized you do a great job with them now and also with women of faith. And my Promise Keepers time was I spoke twice. I would speak to the dads about being with their kids, spending time with them.
Right.
And then about this to the sons about honoring their dads. But what was interesting is the older dads, the midlife dads and older, they also got that message and they struggled with it because they wanted to honor, they're still the son.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of forgot
right.
about it. I'm speaking to these
right.
young people. And they would come and talk to me, be broken because they said, you know, my dad is dead or I don't have a relationship with my dad. There's still a son. What do you say to that dad who's maybe going through midlife crisis and goes, look, I didn't have a relationship with my own father.
Right.
I'm still his son. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that the Bible tells you to honor your father and your mother. And some fathers didn't give you much to honor. In fact, some fathers almost destroyed you. And so the greatest honor that you can be to your father is to become something that they could never help you become. Become far greater than anything they ever were in their life or could ever lead you to. And you will honor them without enabling or giving honor to a dishonorable part of their life.
Mm. That's important insight from Steve Arterburn today here on the Homeward Broadcast. We're in the middle of part two of Jim Burns' conversation with Steve on finding significance in the second half of life. And remember that we stream these programs at homeward.com. Great way to make sure that you have them on demand so that you can listen to them at your convenience is to podcast along with us. And if you go to homeward.com and then hit the podcast button, it'll take you right to our spot on iTunes so you don't have to sift through all the menus and try to figure out where we are. It'll just take you right there. And then you can sign up and start receiving these programs delivered directly to your MP3 player, your iPod, however you like to consume that media, and then you can listen on demand and find that one 60-second snippet of the whole program that says, boy, that's the one I want to zero in on. And we want to encourage you to take advantage of everything Homeward has to offer. Homeward with Jim Burns, broadcasting as always from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. You can subscribe to APU on Twitter and receive updates on the latest APU news and events when you go to twitter.com/Azusa Pacific. More Homeward still to come.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So that's why we're all going to help out at the homeless shelter this Saturday morning.
Okay. And then we're working the cake table at the Morgan's wedding reception that evening.
I thought Heather had a soccer game on Saturday.
Well, she does. We'll hit the field in between taking your grandmother out to breakfast and everything.
Dad? And don't forget your babysitting job for the new neighbors now.
And then next weekend.
Wait a minute. Do we get any time for ourselves in this schedule?
Like it or not, our schedules reveal our priorities. When we commit to involvement in good, God-honoring projects, we can do many great things for the kingdom, but we also run the risk of avoiding our kids in the process. When we, as parents, give our children time and attention, it means we're willing to listen to them, and listening is the language of love. Get a free copy of my tip sheet called 5 Tips for Helping Busy Parents Reprioritize Their Lives. You can download it from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about finding significance in the second half of life, and you'll have to decide where that second half is. Steve Arterburn with us today. What a privilege to have him. Steve, interesting thing, and I maybe have shared this with you privately before, but Ted Turner, a number of years ago, was Man of the Year in one of the Fortune magazine or something. They had a big banquet in Atlanta, and they had a bust of his face. And so they handed it to him, and then he went to speak, and he lifted the bust before he spoke, and he said, "Dad, are you proud of me yet?" And he looks up at heaven. Well, in some ways, that was a negative thing because he was trying to live out. He was still trying to please his dad and not do it for the right reason.
Right. Well, there is an unhealthy example of that. And then there's also kind of a healthy balance of that. Steve Martin is one of the funniest people I've ever heard. And in his book, Born Standing Up, he talks about a father that was not encouraging. And actually, the father was jealous of Steve. And at one point, his father says to him toward the end of his life, "You did everything that I wanted to do." And Steve says to him, "And Dad, I did it for you." And he just gave back to that father something that that father never intended. But Steve got something from him too. Now, many people don't have that kind of moment that's left for them. But I don't know of any answer other than you must grieve the loss of the idealized father that you never had. You grieve that loss, otherwise you carry it around with you and you compensate. It's like a vulture on your shoulder, and you've got to grieve it. And as you grieve it, that vulture becomes a hummingbird and a gnat, and you never forget it, but you wipe it away. So you grieve that, and then you embrace what is. I don't know of a father who is all bad. Find what the good is. Ask people, what did he do? You know, it might just be that he got up and went to work every day. But you embrace what is, and then ask God to take that reality and do something far greater with it than you could ever do or your father ever expected. And he will. That's what I believe about God. You know, in my life, the thing that I've seen, the difference, people say, what's the difference between the Christian life and the unchristian life? In the Christian life, if whatever you go through, you surrender it to God, and God will make it look like it was meant to be. So you have a father that was horrible, you surrender it to God, and he will make it look like it was meant to be because something far greater. It's like Chuck Colson goes to prison and comes out and establishes prison fellowship. And you look at his life, you say, it seems like it's almost meant to be. It looks like he was the guy that was supposed to. Well, I don't think God wanted him to commit a crime and go to prison. But he uses all that. So whatever your relationship is with your dad, you ask God, take it, use it, build me from it, no matter what it was.
Isn't that interesting? When I was a young man and just become a Christian, I was not raised in a you know, Christian church and whatnot. And my youth pastor said to me, God gave you your parents. You know, my parents were wonderful people, but they weren't the people who were, you know, going to church all the time and whatnot. And the fact was, that was when I realized that even with some of their foibles, and everybody has foibles, that, you know what, God did give me my dad, and God gave me my mom for a purpose, and I could embrace that. Well, great, great input. I want to talk about the husband side to
mm-hmm.
life.
Yeah.
Midlife seems to me, a lot of my friends who are in midlife, I think their role as a husband is pretty complicated. You know, they start with good intentions. We all started with good intentions. But then the relationship gets confusing. Maybe we didn't have a lot of good role models. Many wives tell me, and I think they probably tell you this too, that they feel like their husbands take them for granted.
Absolutely. I think what happens in most marriages is that a husband gets this idea that he's to be, in a Christian home, the spiritual dictator, and in an unchristian home, just the dictator. And then she's to be the doormat and respond to that. And there's no mutuality. And if you don't have mutuality in a relationship, in a marriage, you don't really have a marriage. Now, you've got a relationship that'll work for you as long as the dictator can keep the person as the doormat. It doesn't honor God. It isn't fulfilling. But you can get through life that way. And I think that when you go back to Scripture, you find how all of this comes together where you don't have a wife that's taken for granted. You go back to Ephesians 5, and you look that there are about, I think, 48 words directed at women to submit to their husband. But after that, there are over 100 words written to men to be willing to die for their wife the way Christ was to have oneness with the church. So when you have a wife submitting to a husband, and the husband submitting to oneness in the relationship, the way Jesus submitted and gave everything so that we could be one with the Father, you have two people submitting, not him submitting to her, but submitting to oneness. Then you have mutuality, and then you have a wife who doesn't feel like she's being taken for granted because, you know, the Bible says that she's the weaker of the two. Well, that translation, it isn't exactly right. It's kind of more like fine china weaker. She's to be honored. I said this to somebody, and they said, well, hey, don't make it like women are supposed to be beautiful and serve food like china. But really, when you think about it, we're like pottery. They're fine
right.
china. You
right.
honor that. You don't disgrace it because maybe it can't stand up to kids at the breakfast table. It's special. And I think that so many women have been trampled on by the man. And when a man humbles himself and says, I want to be like Christ to my wife, he becomes the spiritual leader, not the way many of us are taught, but he becomes the first one to get up and have a devotional, the first one to say he's sorry, the first one to be the one walking around the house singing praise and worship song, the first one that notices our family isn't quite what it needs to be
yeah.
spiritually.
And interesting enough, that's really leadership, to
yeah.
be mutually submitted. In fact, in that same scripture, it says, you know, submit to one another.
Right.
And that's how it's going to work. That's actually a great input. I think a lot of times in midlife, they don't do it that way because we get set in our ways. Now, another role that I want to bring up before we end the program is provider. You know, a lot of men in midlife, at least my thought is that they define themselves by what they do, not necessarily for who they are. You guys
yeah.
even have an illustration in your book about how in Europe, they'll kind of talk more about emotions. And when you meet somebody, a lot of times in America, especially men, it's what you do.
Right.
That doesn't seem to be necessarily healthy.
Well, it isn't healthy. And I think one of the great things about midlife is that you get to say goodbye to being defined by your business card or defined by the label that people give you. And at midlife, you have a new awareness that all of the little small details of and junk of work aren't all that important, and you're focusing on the major things. And one of the great advantages of getting to that place of provider is that you say to yourself, you know, hey, maybe we didn't make all the money we thought or whatever, but I got up. I faithfully got up in the morning, and I went out and I did my best. And, you know, if you're somebody, you'd say, well, I actually didn't do that. I didn't get up, and I wasn't. Then you need to go get some help, and you need to get that fixed for the second part of your life or the last two-thirds of your life.
One of your answers that you specifically talk about is that you have to grieve over your loss.
Yeah.
But also, you just got to go get healthy. And
right.
it's not too late when you're in midlife to do something like that. I want to, before we close, and we don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to talk about the role of the father. And we could do a whole program, I'm sure, on this. But a lot of men struggle with this role, I think, because they have a burden, actually, especially today's guy, who, you know, they want to be super dad or the never wrong dad.
Yeah.
And some are just deadbeat dads and they feel bad about it. But
right.
what does a healthy father look like in midlife?
Two things, I think, is that in midlife, he is more connected to his kids than ever before. Now, you know, if you haven't been a great dad, the Christian faith offers you the reboot key, which is saying I'm sorry, asking for forgiveness, and then this, making restitution. I think one of the most ignored things in the Christian world is somebody making restitution. So if you weren't there for them, then you be there for them now. You inconvenience yourself. Whether they're 40 or 14, you decide you're going to be there for those kids. That, being there, the connection, humility and connection is a great combination to be a brand new dad. Humble yourself before God and let Him move you toward your kids. It's very hard for a child to reject a man that wants to be with them, even if they despise him, and then they see the humility that's there. It's very hard for them to resist that kind of a man.
It's interesting. One of the Proverbs says, before honor comes humility.
Yeah.
And that's a great, great comment. Steve, wonderful comments today. Thank you so much for being with
us. Thanks for having me, Jim.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Steve Arterburn here on the Homeward Broadcast. Steve has written so many empowering books and so many encouraging books over the years, and A Midlife Manual for Men is just another one of those books. And as we are staring down the barrel of Father's Day, this is something for us to think about. If you'd like to learn more about the resources that Steve has put together over the years, go to homeward.com, and in the radio archives section, you'll find that Steve's name is hot-linked, as we say, and all you have to do is click on there. It'll take you right to the newlife.com website. You'll learn more about Steve's ministry and how prolific an author he is and has been over the years. You know, Jim, this is the kind of conversation that we've had in the past couple of programs that can be very encouraging. At the same time, it can also help show us guys that sometimes there might be some parts in our life that are a little bit bummed out. Take the final moments of our time together and offer us a little encouragement there.
Well, when the program's over, Roger, you and I can go talk in my office and we'll see how you're doing. But you know what? Actually, I think midlife is a real mixed bag.
Yeah.
And it's a mixed emotional bag. You know, we hit 30 or we hit 40 or even 50, and we tend to fall into one of two different camps. I mean, either we are pleasantly surprised at what we have accomplished, but I would say for a lot of people, we're kind of disappointed that some of our dreams just hadn't come true. And for most of us, it's probably a little bit of both, frankly. Having said that, I want to leave you with some hope. God gives us dreams to motivate us to action, but He doesn't always guarantee that these dreams will come true. Now, if you're nearing a milestone birthday, I mean, it could be 30, 35, 40, 50. Now, Kathy's milestone birthdays were 29, 39,
right.
And
right
we'll
before
leave
the big
it
ones.
There.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was before. She did fine on the big days, but it was the year before. If you are hitting a milestone birthday, I want to encourage you to make a list of major things that you had hoped to accomplish and then celebrate the ones you have realized. Obviously, you haven't realized all of them, most likely. But also, go ahead and grieve over the ones that haven't happened yet. I don't think you have to go into deep depression. But I believe it's important to acknowledge the fact that dreams may have died, or a dream may have died. I mean, I'm not going to be a professional football player any longer, even though I probably only thought that when I was in
eighth
grade.
I'm still holding out for that astronaut thing. It just hasn't happened for
me. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think once you do recognize that it's not going to happen, then you kind of heal and move on.
Yeah.
Then, now I think what we need to do is take a new list of dreams we'd like to accomplish during the second half of life. You saw the movie The Bucket List. Did
yeah.
you see the movie? I loved that particular movie. And, they created this bucket list, and at the end of their life, they did all these things. Well, it doesn't have necessarily the greatest spiritual significance, that particular movie. But I think for a lot of us, it's important for us to write down those dreams in midlife and find some new dreams. I'm finding that my dreams aren't as grandiose, but they're more geared toward family, deeper relationship with Kathy, a deeper relationship with my children, taking a vacation
yeah.
to a certain spot, things like that. Anyway, boredom, I think, is the enemy of a happy, fulfilling life. So don't just settle into a routine that you hope will carry you into the life you retire. Reinvent yourself with a new hobby or a new activity. And actually, for the guys, I'm kind of big on this right now. The last suggestion I would specifically make to men, plan a vacation for just you and your wife that is all about her. In other words, make your wife the entire point of taking a vacation with your wife. I mean, just totally focus on her. I think you'll be amazed at how doing it will energize your marriage as well. So that's kind of the gift to the men. And if a man's not going to do it, then I think some of the women listening should do it. Roger?
Well, it's amazing, Jim, as to how much can be accomplished in a marriage relationship when one of the partners is definitely willing to do it. And when both get on board, even if they don't do it perfectly, you've always provided such great encouragement to couples saying, hey, take baby steps, do what you need to do. That's the whole theme of today's program, is finding significance in the second half of life. If you're listening to this program right now and you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, and you're wondering, wow, how much time left? How much can I really have an impact on my kids and my grandchildren? Be encouraged, and we hope that you'll use what Homeward has to offer in our online resource center as an encouragement to you. Our Good Advice Parent newsletter, delivered electronically each and every month, absolutely free. You can sign up for that today at homeward.com. Also, our daily online devotional, a verse from Scripture, a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. Get that free subscription rolling today at homeward.com as well. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.